How do you decide between what seems to matter and what is really important? If you're a thoughtful person, that question will dog you all of your life. Between what matters and what seems to matter, how do we decide? This is the important thing. For the people of Corinth, what seemed to matter to them were these heady days. God was at work in remarkable ways, demonstrating powerfully how he wanted to heal and encourage and empower the church. Heady days. What seemed to matter to them was spiritual gifts. And it is important. Paul has already taught about the importance of it in chapter 12, and he picks it up again in 14. But here again, he picks up another issue. As he closes chapter 12, in verse 31, it says, eagerly desire the greater gifts. And some of those gifts were gifts that speak God's mind and counsel to the church. There are a broad number of those gifts that speak God's word and counsel to the world, so that you have a clear, pristine message of God's grace and mercy. Eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I will show you the most excellent way. And off we go into chapter 13. What he shows us here, that our many gifts are good, but they're worthless. They amount to zero if it isn't done with love. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Now, he's depicting in these next three verses kind of the superwoman or superman, spiritually speaking. Okay? He's setting up this kind of person, this ideal person. Let's talk about the ultimate linguist. They know the tongues of men and of angels. The ultimate linguist. It's remarkable. But who does that? Who knows that? He says, if that's the case, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging that brought Margie right out of her chair. It's annoying, isn't it? What he was referring to was gongs and cymbals that were played incessantly by pagans as they go around just banging and banging and banging and banging. Quite a picture, isn't it? Someone with all the languages of the world and even able to speak with languages of angels, which there is a gift of languages that he's talked about already in chapter 12, but has not love. Now, there are some remarkable people I've met who understand languages. I went to school with a guy named Eddie Raywinkle that had photographic memory. And by the time we were into the middle of our first semester of Greek, he'd finished the whole book. Semester one and semester two. Just like that. It was remarkable. But nobody knows all these languages. These gongs were used in pagan temples. It was used to stir people worshiping to a frenzy. The cymbals were used also in pagan worship. The gong and the cymbals had one thing in common. There was no music to them. It was just noise. They made a loud, senseless din. And Paul was saying, without love, your gift of languages, your gift of eloquence is just loud noise. I remember hearing a story of a person who talked about a speaker. And she said, when he's speaking, we listen to him, and we wish he'd never leave. But when he's out of the lectern, we feel the caustic nature of his life, and we wish that he'd never get back to the lectern. Perhaps that's why Jonathan Edwards resolved early in his life, saying, I'm determined to preach no sermon or even write one unless I'm motivated by the glory of God and love for the people to whom I speak. So, even if we are gifted in this way, it amounts to zero. Nothing. There are other gifts talked about here. Oh, there's my little friend. Okay. Other gifts here. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, let's stop there. Do we have all knowledge compiled here in this room? No, we don't. So he's giving us an absurd situation, right? Even if we collectively pooled all our knowledge, we wouldn't have what this super spiritual person would have, right? If I have the gift of prophecy, the sense of being able to understand the will of God and the purposes of God and speak it. So this is a person that kind of perceives what God wants completely. This superwoman or superman is almost godlike in that sense. I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. And if I have the faith that can move mountains, well, there was a lot of remarkable healings, things happening in the day, in that day in Corinth. And it could be the same today. But before that, what should be apparent is the love of God being expressed. So if I have a faith that could move mountains but have not love, I am nothing, zero. Okay? Pick a mountain. These are some mountains I saw on vacation in Colorado. Pick a mountain, any one of them. You think, how spunky do you feel? Here's another one. Want to try that one? Maybe this one. If I could do it and still not have love, then I'm nothing. Or zero. Just zeros. Paul is teaching us something most important. Remember, we started out with this idea about how do you decide between what matters and what seems to matter? He's answering the question. Love is to be preeminent. Love is the test of whether it stands or not. And you know how it is. You've seen people who seem to have it together or have a lot of things stuffed up here, and yet in behaviorally, they are just hard on people. We can't be that way and be obedient to him. Many gifts are good, but they're worthless. They're zero if they're not done with love. So love is what matters. Let's take a brief, I've said it in many time in many ways. What do you think this passage first teaches us about God? God is love, okay? What about human beings? Well, we're not zero. But what we do, if it isn't connected to love, that's sure zero. Anything else it teaches us about human beings? Sure. I'm getting
you're just in my way.
You're just in my way. If you would please move.
Then I could get a lot done for Jesus.
How we do things matters. Yes. Very good. We forget our ways are not God's ways. Okay, we try to control others rather than let God manage things. Anything in this story that's new to you? You have a question about anything in the text? What do you think this says that we should maybe do differently? We need to examine our motives for the things that we do, especially if they relate to serving in some way, either people or our Lord. Examine our motives. That's a good thing to do. Okay. A what? For those of you who couldn't hear that, we need to develop a love filter, a filter through which we run things that we do. Very, very good. It's what matters most. Okay, to love others unconditionally. To just kind of wind things up here, I'd like to share something with you about the nature of love. We often think about that prompting emotion, that stuff that we feel, that we think must be there attending for us to act. And I'd like to read something by C.S. Lewis, who has a helpful comment on love. It would be quite wrong to think that the way to become loving is to sit and try to manufacture affectionate feelings. Some people are cold by temperament. That may be a misfortune for them, but it is no more a sin than having bad digestion is a sin. Okay? For those of you, I think this is an encouraging word. For those of you who just don't feel the gush, okay? This is good news. And it does not cut them off from the chance or excuse them from the duty of learning love. The rule for us is perfectly simple. Do not waste time bothering whether you love your neighbor. Act as if you do. As soon as we do this, we learn one of the greatest secrets. When you are behaving as if you loved someone, you will presently come to love them. Conversely, if you injure someone you dislike, you'll find yourself disliking them more. Have you ever experienced that? If you intentionally do it, if you intentionally wound them, does something harden inside you? Sometimes it does. If you do him a good turn, you'll find yourself disliking him less. There is, however, one exception. If you do him a good turn, not to please God or obey the law of love, but to show him what a fine, forgiving chap you are, and to put him in your debt, and then sit down to wait for his gratitude, you will be disappointed. But whenever we do good to another self, just because it is a self, made like us, by its own happiness, as we desire ours, we shall have learned to love that self a little more, or at least to dislike that soul less. Of all the things that matter, love matters most. Take joy in that. If you're a Christian, you're better at loving than you think. The same God who's given us the gifts of the Spirit is the same God whose love is shed abroad in your heart. This is the testimony of Scripture. He sheds his love abroad in our hearts, gifts us with the capacity to love. It is the work of the Spirit that produces love. So, really, you are a gifted bunch, a really gifted bunch. I am sometimes in awe of the gifts that you have, but he has enabled you to love him and to love one another. And of course, the things that matter most is love.